And the show's not going to play. Here we go. Here it is. I don't know what the hell's going on. You can tell we haven't been on for a while.
You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio. Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
We are live Monday night, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. Full Guard Fight Radio number 37 with my man. I am Jason London of Full Guard Fight Gear. With my man working the board, a stellar performance right out of the gate, Carl the Madman Mortensen. It is good to be back. We've moved from Saturday night. We moved from Thursday to Saturday. Now to Monday, I think this is going to be a better slot for both of us. I think there's some big things on the horizon, 2014, just coming up here. So.
I got to break something to you. We're not going to be able to keep our Monday nights because we're going to have a huge announcement to make here soon, and it's pretty exciting. But I can't let anybody know yet. But, we're going to lose our Monday nights to them. Sorry.
Damn it, Carl. This is the first one I'm already getting kicked off the airwaves on Monday night. I'm already getting booted.
I don't know. We'll find a day.
All right. So I'm not getting fired. It's telling me.
You're not getting fired. It's too big of an opportunity to let it slip through our fingers, and when it's announced, you know, it's going to be a bit of a head-turner, I believe. So
I got to be honest with you. If you're moving me out of the Monday night slot, the only person that it could be, I'm going to have to say it's going to have to be the king of all media, Howard Stern. Is that who it's going to be?
Quiet, man. Don't let the cat out of the bag. Don't let the cat out of the bag. I thought you were going to say
Carl.
King JB when you said the king there.
Oh, yes. Funny you mention that fellow's name. I just had a conversation with him not too long ago, and actually, many of you know my controversial ex-co-host. He seems to be doing well, seems to be in a different light, and, you know, whatever. It is what it is. How are you, man? I haven't talked to you. It seems like it's like, I don't know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks, maybe, and
Must be 3 or 4 weeks since we've been on the air together. It's been a bit of a kerfuffle, to say the least. You know, I've had a couple of good weekends, though, watching, you know, some local MMA worldwide. Caught some fights from Australia on the weekend, some fights from Grand Prairie, Alberta, Canada. Both great shows. What have you been doing?
Well, I've been living the dream, man. I'm down here in Southwest Florida. It's 60 degrees. I'm in a sweatshirt and sweatpants. I have a hoodie on. I'm a mess, Carl. It's freezing. I moved down here to get away from the snow and the cold. I feel like I might as well break out my shovel. You wouldn't know anything about that because you're up there in the balmy, north wherever Canada. So, what have I been doing the last couple of weeks? You know what, Carl? I've been doing a lot of work. I've been doing a lot of trying to just get some stuff organized, and I've watched as much MMA as I could. I've definitely been following MMAMadhouse.com. We've had some interesting comings and goings in our world there You know, just some very head-turning, head-scratching stuff going on in the world of MMA, world of combat sports, really. I don't know if you saw today Vitaly, however you pronounce his name, Klitschko, one of the boxing, the heavyweight champion. He vacated his title to focus on Ukrainian government. So, I mean, that's kind of an interesting story. Kind of piggybacks off what we saw with George St. Pierre, who also vacated his title. You know, whatever the rumors may be there that, you know, his father is sick, he's got a woman pregnant, whatever it might be. Apparently I saw something that he was gonna vacate the title so he could host a TV show about aliens. I don't know what's going on. But either way, vacating titles, Carl, is it good or bad for the sport? I mean, really, any sport. Do we want these guys to go out on top, take the title with them, vacate it, or do we want them to fight until they can't, you know, they can't fight anymore and they lose? It's kind of a rhetorical question. I'm not really asking you to have an answer for it.
Well, I don't know if I have an answer. I have an opinion, but about the best I can do. My opinion, you know, I am so much about supporting the athletes that, you know, I support their decision either way. If they feel their time is done and they quit with the belt, you know, that's up for them to decide, no one else.
No, I agree. I agree with that 100%. I absolutely do. I feel like a lot of this stuff, I mean, combat sports clearly is, you know, protecting the fighters, protecting the athletes. So if they're feeling like their head's not in it and they, you know, their hopes and dreams and whatever is somewhere else, I think they can, you know, it's best to just step away without, you know, before they get themselves hurt or whatever. I do know that following local MMA as we do, we see this happen a lot. A lot of guys moving from one organization to another, taking a title with them, kind of drop, you know, laying it at the feet at the door on the way out. Some good, some bad. I know the MFC has had some issue. I know some of the other promotions have had some issue with guys kind of hopping around. I think sometimes that being the grass is always greener on the other side, you know, kind of moving up to the bigger and better as they feel, not always working out for them or whatever. But it's just interesting to me that now these guys work so hard, so long, dedicate their entire lives. And, you know, in Klitschko's case, he moves on to the Ukrainian government. In GSP's case, he moves on to wearing tinfoil on his head and talking conspiracy theories about aliens. I know, either way, I think it's great. I think it's great that they can tell their boss, kind of, you know, pound salt, I'm out of here, brother. On my terms, I'm going to do it my way. And George St. Pierre did it to one of the biggest buffoons in the business, Dana White. So kind of got to pat him on the back on the way out the door, too. He's very classy, very professional. I wish him nothing but the best. I enjoyed watching George fight. On tonight's show, Full Guard Fight Radio number 37, it's kind of, you know, I didn't realize this until I was reading the lineup and kind of doing a little research on the show. It's kind of a young woman's hour, I would say. We have Cheyenne, the warrior princess, Blissmas, on later on this evening. And then we have Rachel Wiley coming on earlier. She's 19. Cheyenne's 18. The future of women's MMA is going to be on the radio tonight with us, Carl. I'm pretty excited about that, man.
Yeah, me too, always. You know, I'm curious to find out about Rach Wiley. You know, I don't know, you know, nothing about her other than she's a 3-1 amateur. So, and, of course, Cheyenne, well, we all follow her.
Team Madhouse member Cheyenne, if I'm not mistaken, right, Carl?
That's correct, yeah. She'll be, I know she has a fight coming up back in Vegas in January, Tough Enough. So, see how all that's going. Maybe she can tell us how
her
last fight at Tough went. When she cut down to 105, wow.
I know the wow, man. Wow, girl. I just lost my train of thought with that wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's been some big news. I'm gonna just put this out here, Carl. I know, you know, you were not all one to accept glory, but I got to be honest, man. You and my man Skippy Cohen have put together an incredible team, and it came to fruition here a couple weeks ago, or maybe even a week ago tonight, I think it was, or maybe even last night, down here in the state of Florida, when we were nominated and crowned the best website in the state of Florida, MMAMadhouse.com. So you and Skippy Handelman, when you guys see each other, I expect a high five and a brother. If you guys put together one hell of a team to cover MMA, not just in the state of Florida, not in Oregon where you guys are, not in Ohio where Spencer is, not, you know, whatever, throughout the whole country. Carl, and Skippy, I know you're listening because you do. You guys work tirelessly. Great job, guys. I mean, you guys put together a hell of a team, and I'm very, very honored to be a part of it. So if I could clap, if I didn't have my gloves on because it's snowing down here in Florida, I would do so. So big ups to you guys, man.
I appreciate that. It was definitely a proud moment for myself, and I'm sure everybody in the team, and you know, looking forward to the future. We're also nominated right now for top website at TFL.tv. We would sure love everybody to go over there and give us a vote. And Skippy, speaking of Skippy, is also nominated for top reporter. You know, vote for MMAMadhouse.com and Skippy Cohen at TFL.tv. That runs to the last day of the month, and you know, see if we can knock another one out of the park.
Absolutely, and you know, it's going to be funny. You guys are going to have to get like your. I'm telling you this right now. This is my prediction for 2014 and beyond. You guys are going to have to get like a storage unit, of course, glass and clothes, so we can all, you know, come by and you know, oogle over these awards. But you guys are going to have to get a storage unit just to house all these awards that you guys are going to be racking in here shortly. And without saying, I got to be honest. Matthew Gaither did a great job down here in Florida. Myself, you know, the guys down here in Florida just pounding out. But to be honest with you, without you two, you know, being our backbones and our foundation, none of it would have been possible. So, big ups to you guys, man. Carl, what time are we getting Rachel on with us? Is she coming on soon? Or do we have a couple minutes that we can kind of?
No, we've got her booked to join us in about 8 minutes.
8 minutes, you got it, man. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about, I know we talked a little bit about it, the vacating of the titles and whatnot. I've really been kind of, and this is, I'm going to say this, I'm going to be honest about something, Carl. I've kind of been following the UFC a little bit more lately than I have in the past, only because it's so readily accessible, and it's an easy click for me to read, at least keep up on a little bit of MMA. Sometimes the amateur local MMA is a little more difficult to navigate through a busy day. And I apologize to you because that's not what you want to hear. I'm not a zombie, trust me. I actually want to talk about Invicta is one of the things, since we're having the women on tonight. You know, the future of women's MMA, I feel. Invicta, how do I want to say this, sold their soul, because I think Shannon Knapp has a great product going in Invicta. Just reading a lot of the stuff online, man, the backstory before we get all, I get out of my tangent, 11 strawweights move into the UFC. 11, that's a lot of women leaving one organization who, you know, is not, I mean, the top women's organization, I think they put on a great product and they do a great job. Losing 11 fighters has to hurt a little bit. I know they're kind of loaning them or whatever. They're still being funded by the UFC. However, losing 11 fighters puts kind of a major dent in – puts kind of a major kink in the armor, don't you think? I don't know. Give me your opinions a little bit on that, Carl. I don't even know if you paid attention to it because I know how, you know, your angst for Dana and whatnot. But I really feel like Invicta is the one that's struggling here.
I don't mind the UFC. I just have no time for the UFC. My brain has zero time to pay any attention to the UFC. that's basically what it comes down to for me in the UFC. I'm actually glad you said you've been paying a little bit of attention to it because I haven't. So, you know, I need somebody to do it for me. So it's all good, you know. You can fill me in on what I'm not following.
I don't enjoy their product, to be honest with you. I don't really enjoy their product. It's very watered down, very commercial. However, I do enjoy women's MMA, and I can't believe I'm even saying that on the air because about 3 years ago, I would have probably rather been hit by a bus than say I enjoyed women's MMA. But the ladies that I've watched fight, the ladies I've spoken to, have changed my mind wholly. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want to see Invicta with the loss of all these ladies. I mean, there's so many great, talented women out there. I know of two that we're going to talk to tonight on Full Guard Fight Radio. And I know one that would probably be ready to step in very shortly here to fill a spot in Invicta. I guess what I'm saying is people need to, you know, step away from the ledge a little bit, reel it back in, let's sit back and, you know, kind of let Shannon and her team kind of work through this. I think women's MMA is in a really good spot. I think they're getting a lot of publicity, a lot of press, and I'm really kind of excited about it. Please don't tell my friends that, but I really am excited about where women's MMA is going. Before I forget, Carl, the MMA world, a heavyweight this past week, I don't know if you've seen this story. I'm going to butcher his last name. I'm not even going to say it until I can confirm it. The UFC heavyweight who passed away this week, Shane Del Rosario was his name, went into full cardiac arrest, was on life support for about 12 days and then passed away. So, you know, thoughts and prayers to his family. It's incredible. The kid was 30 years old. I mean, that's a baby in my eyes, Carl. I'm an old man now. So, you know, watching a kid fight and then at 30 years old, his life's being taken from him. So, just wanted to say that before he moved on, but.
Yeah, it's brutal.
So anyway,
brutal.
About the.
I didn't know you had any friends.
I don't really. I just don't want, if any of them happen to catch wind of this, the three that I do have, two of them, like, you know, came to my birthday party. No, I take a beating sometimes when I say that I like women's sports. My buddies are just ruthless. You know, you and I are friends on Facebook, and I'm sure you see some of the shit that I put up with. But I take a beating at times, but especially for women's sports. Let's just say that.
And I just looked up. I'm in Canada. My brain works in Celsius. You're in Florida. You're in Fahrenheit. I just looked up 60 Fahrenheit, and that's like spring weather. That's like gorgeous, beautiful. You know, Canadians are outside in their T-shirts, you know, basking in the sun weather. I gotta tell you.
you guys are polar bears up there, Carl. It's freezing down here, man. I'm telling you. I swear to God, my dog is out here shivering with me. I'm standing outside as I get all worked up and I get yelling halfway through the show. My dog's out here looking at me like, really? I mean, it's cold out here, man. The wind's blowing. And so, what is it over there? What 60 Fahrenheit is what in Celsius?
Plus 15. So.
Plus 15?
Yeah. So let's see. Just trying to figure this out here now.
So what the hell? What is it like in a hot day for you guys? Like 28
in the? yeah, right now that would be a really hot day. Actually, that's about what it is right now, I think.
Holy crap! Yeah, no, I'm good, man. I moved out of Buffalo. Yeah, I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I don't know if you guys have mainstream news up there, like CNN. I don't know if they get that up there with your rabbit ears. But
if you can get CNN.
It all
comes by dog sled.
I'm from Buffalo, New York, and we got about, I don't know, 3.5 feet of snow up there, 4 feet. Some of my buddies are really pissed at me. I posted a picture on Facebook today that I got some backlash for, so.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that picture. It looked gorgeous down there. I got to say,
it's beautiful. It's my drive to work every day, and it's kind of a good day. I get to see some dolphins frolicking in the water below, and you know, whatever. It doesn't suck all that bad going to work on a Monday, getting over that. So, I know we're going to get Rachel Wise. I hope, Carl. I know you and I have talked about this. I'm hoping her name is Rachel. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to mispronounce her name. I'm terrible with names, so we're going to get her on, and we're going to learn a little bit about Miss Wiley, 19 years old, 3-1. So, you know, what do you think? That's at least, you know, maybe 1 or 2 years of fighting. You know, so she's looking at 17. to start. I want to know, you know, I'm looking very forward to getting to know Miss Rachel Wiley. So while he's doing that, kind of talk a little bit about Invicta a little bit more. I know some of the women that are moving to the UFC have kind of forged a path for themselves. I know Felice Herrig. Every time I see Felice Herrig, I don't know, and they look nothing alike, I think of Cheyenne Blissmuth. So I'm going to talk to her because they're both beautiful women. They're both incredible fighters. They both have a lot going for them. And there's a lot of different avenues that these ladies can take. They're both very photogenic. You know, modeling could be in the future, things like that. So, and they're both young. So I'm going to talk to Cheyenne a little bit about that tonight. I'm going to talk to Rachel a little bit about how she feels about that. Without further ado, I think Carl is telling me that he is ready. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce Miss Rachel, I'm hoping, Wiley. Rachel, are you there?
Yeah.
How are you? Is it Rachel?
Yeah. What's up?
Okay. Nothing. I was worried. But it was because I see just everywhere it just says Rach. So I didn't know if that was really your God-given name. I didn't want to call you something that wasn't your name. So I'm glad it's Rachel. That's what I've been saying. Okay.
You're right.
Rachel, thanks for joining us tonight. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It is. Let me see. Almost 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I don't know where you are located in the in our continent, but tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell me a little bit about where you're from, what school you fight out of, what camp you fight out of. Let me get to know you a little bit before I start drilling you with some questions.
All right. Well, I'm from Topeka, Kansas. I'm 19 years old, and I'm 19. And I fight out of United Martial Sciences here in my hometown. I've only been doing it for about 2 years. I started training when I was 17. And I only trained for about 8 months before I got my first fight. I'm not sure if that was the best idea, but, yeah, that's about it.
Rachel, now explain to me, 17, that's fairly young, 17, you don't, when I was 17, trust me, I was not wanting to get, you know, punched in the face or punch somebody in the face for a living. How did you decide you wanted to become a fighter?
Well, I had a lot of friends that did it. Like, I would always go to the shows that they had around here and stuff, and there was just a part of me that didn't just want to be a spectator anymore. And one of my friends invited me up to a gym, and I just kind of started going ever since then.
What kind of discipline did you take up first? Was it the boxing, the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling? What part do you really enjoy the most?
My very first class I ever took was a jiu-jitsu class, and that was really interesting. I just thought everything was absolutely hilarious. I thought having somebody in guard was the funniest thing in the whole entire world. Like, I don't know why. It was weird.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes, you know, you get in some of those positions, the north-south position. You know, some of those positions are, you know, I mean, they're a little compromising. So I can understand that, especially, I don't know how your gym is, but a lot of times you're, you know, it's a unisex gym. So you're in very compromising positions with some people of the opposite sex. So I can understand that. I respect that.
Yeah, it was just hilarious to me. Like, I felt like I almost couldn't take it serious. But I just kept going. It was awesome.
Now what is your favorite discipline? Is it still the jiu-jitsu? You still enjoy it?
Well, I really liked doing Muay Thai for a while. Like, I really wasn't that into jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
But then I started taking classes under Cody Creakey, and I ended up, like, really loving jiu-jitsu. Like, it's probably my favorite right now.
All right, fair enough. Boxing. I mean, you know, I look at your Facebook. I mean, you're a pretty girl. Boxing, getting punched in the face is not a whole lot of fun. Is that something that's taken a little bit of time to get used to, being a spectator, to getting hit in the face? Is that something that you've had to adjust a little bit, or were you just, I mean, was it just kind of like, whatever, it's part of the territory?
Yeah, like, I was kind of nervous to get punched in the face, but I always tell everybody that the anticipation of getting punched in the face is way worse than actually getting punched in the face.
Like,
it's not that bad.
I got to be honest with you, Rich. I'm going to take your word for it. I mean, you know, I'm gay. I'm pretty godless, you know. You said, you made a comment a little bit ago about it might not have been the best idea to take your first fight about 8 months later. Explain to me why not.
Well, my very first fight I ever had was with a girl named Molly Magnus. And she, to me, is one of the most underrated boxers in the whole world. Like, she is so good, and I just feel like she doesn't get enough publicity for how good she is. And she, her skill level was way, way above mine. Like, we ended up going the distance, but she won every single round, and by the time that fight was over, I felt like my jaw was about 6 inches to the right. But I did it.
Well, I was just going to say, so you couldn't, her skill couldn't have been, I mean, I appreciate you being very humble, but her skill couldn't have been that much greater than yours. You went the distance with what you called one of the best boxers in the world, so you got to pat yourself on the back a little bit for that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and she's just gotten so much better, too. I'm lucky that I got in there with her when I did, because it might have turned out a little different if it was now.
Fair enough. Well, I got to say, that was your first fight, and you're 3-1, so 3 fights later, take me up to speed. You take that fight, you kind of get your teeth kicked around, and now you go on a 3-fight win streak. We're 3-1. Take me through your first victory.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, I originally boxed Molly, and then I had a kickboxing match against some other girl in Kansas City before I ever did MMA. And my first victory ever was that kickboxing match, and it was so crazy. Like, it was the best feeling in the whole entire world. Like, I literally left the cage, ran up, like, 3 flights of stairs back to the room we were in and called my mom and couldn't stop crying. I was so excited.
A whole lot of stuff just went through my head right there. Now you went not only went from not getting punched in the face to 8 months later in a kickboxing match where this girl was trying to kick you in the face as well to
– yeah.
Just get, like, you know, you think of these cage fighters who are very big, you know, who are very rough and tumble, and I can just get a mental picture of you being so excited. Running, the first person you call is your mom, and you're in tears. I love it. That's why I love the sport of MMA. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. So so now you're 3-1.
Yeah.
You is this your mixed martial arts record is 3-1, or does this include the kickboxing?
Nope, that does not include kickboxing. My 3-1 record is all MMA.
MMA. Okay, fair enough. What is your plan from here? Are you a few more amateur fights that you're gonna take, or are you thinking with your management team to kind of move up and move on to the professional?
Well, I would definitely like to get at least a couple more amateur fights in. Like, I don't really want to go pro right now. I'm not sure if that'd be a very smart decision for me to do at the moment. But just because when I do go pro, I want to make sure that it's the right choice at that point in time. But I definitely want to get at least a couple more amateur fights in, do a couple tournaments and stuff like that.
I got to say, for being 19 years old, it sounds like you got your head on straight as far as your career path. Is there somebody that's leading the charge for that for you, or is that kind of all you? Is that kind of all you? You kind of are dictating your own path?
I don't know. I just kind of like to take things as I go. I don't really like to make plans because I feel like they don't always work out that way.
And that's a perfect segue into my next question. I see in your Facebook page that you were supposed to fight this Saturday. You made a post that you're very sad about it. What happened?
Well, I was originally supposed to fight with a girl named Trey from Springfield, Missouri, but she didn't really do so well on the medical side of things, and I wish her the best with that. So, and that was pretty upsetting to hear about. So, but on the other side of that, February 8th, I'll be fighting for a Victory Fighting Championships against Autumn Lamley. She's 3-1, just like me.
Okay. Victory Fighting Championships, from everything I've gathered from the people we've talked to through Victory, it's an incredible organization you're going to be fighting with, and they're just top-notch all the way around, so you should be very excited about that.
Yeah.
Is it going to be on Is it going to be on the main card? Because sometimes we can get our hands on that card, and if it's on the main card, I'd love to be able to watch you fight.
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure how they're doing this one because they're usually in Omaha. Well, this one's going to be in Junction City, I believe, here in Kansas. So I'm not sure how they're going to do this one.
Okay, fair enough. So take me through kind of who you are outside of the ring, outside of the cage. Are we in school? Are you working? Kind of give me a little background on that.
Well, I am a Hooters girl, and I'm also a firefighter, so it's kind of interesting.
All right. All right. I'm not sure if you heard me before you came on the air that it's cold and I'm all bundled up, but I just tore my hat off because I thought my head was going to explode when I just heard what you said. So you're a kickboxer, you're a boxer, you're an MMA, you're a firefighter, and you're a Hooters girl. Kind of all wrapped up into one.
Yes.
Okay. So somebody doesn't leave you a good tip at work. You're going to beat the shit out of them and start their car on fire, but then you're going to put it out because you're a nice person. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Fair enough. So how do you transition from the cage to work? Has there ever been a time that you call in and, you know, I've been a manager at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and I've got some crazy, you know, call-ins. Has it ever been like, yeah, listen, my nose is broken and I got a black eye. I'm not coming into work today. Has that ever kind of, are the two ever mixed, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, funny story. When I went and when I got hired at Hooters, when I applied like 2 years ago, I actually had a really big black eye, and I don't know if they like felt bad for me and figured that like somebody jumped me or something like that and just hired me because they felt bad, or if they just, I don't know, what's the odds of them thinking that I do MMA and stuff like that.
Exactly. That's a great point. That's a perfect segue because tonight, I'm not sure if you know who she is, but Cheyenne Blissmas, she's also a young female fighter down here in the state of Florida. She's a pretty young lady just like yourself. And I was talking about Felice Herrig also. She's a very pretty lady. A lot of I'm not trying to be rude when I say this. There's a lot of sex appeal with, you know, attractive young ladies. Is that something – I'm not asking you to pose naked in Playboy. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that something that you'd be willing, you would be interested in doing is – I'm sure you know who Felice is, and I'm sure you know that she does promo shoots and different things like that. Is that something that you're open to do as far as, like, photo shoots in an athletic kind of way?
Yeah, I'd be totally down for that. You know, I don't see anything wrong with it. I know some people get really upset about it, saying that these girls are, like, ruining women's MMA and stuff, but I think that's stupid because it's brilliant. Like, people love Felice Herrig. Felice Herrig has a huge following, and it's probably, yeah, like, she's so smart. She's so good at drawing publicity to herself. Like, who wouldn't want that? I would totally do it.
I agree 100%. I actually had an opportunity to meet her. I met her down here in Tampa, and she was a sweetheart. You know, she's a very pretty girl. She was a very nice young lady, and you know, she's got the right idea. This is a business. Listen, it's a cutthroat world out there, and if you guys have an opportunity to use your beauty as well as your talent, I absolutely see nothing wrong with that. And I think you hit the nail right on the head that she's very smart. And a lot of people, which drives me crazy, get their panties in a bunch that, you know, oh my gosh, you know, she's, give the girl a break. She's a pretty girl. She's not going to be pretty for the rest of her life. You know, I mean, you know, God willing, I guess she will be, but you know, you've seen some of the supermodels from the past. So I think it's great. And I wasn't trying to be rude. I just actually, it's kind of fell in perfectly because it's something Cheyenne and I are going to talk about later too. So perfect.
I totally understand. And you know what, honestly, I kind of feel like, you know, if maybe I didn't have the weird story of, like, being a Hooters girl that also fights, I don't think I'd be where I am today. So I think it's totally helped me.
That's interesting. Now, when you're working, does that ever come up in conversation? Do you ever kind of get into your story? I mean, I've been to Hooters before, and I know the girls are very friendly, and they sit down and talk with you often. Is that something that comes up, or is it something that you want to keep separate?
It's it I don't know. I feel like I kind of don't have much, like, control over that, because I'll have, like, the girls I work with, like, say they're playing UFC on TV, and then they're talking to their customer about the UFC fights. Like, they'll just happen to mention, they'll be like, oh, hey, you see that blonde girl over there? She does that. And then they'll start talking to me about it. And you know what? I like it, because then those people come back and they sit with me and they talk to me, and I get to meet a lot of people that way, and I think it's pretty cool. So I'm okay with it. It doesn't bother me.
Fair enough. No, I appreciate that. That's an interesting way to spin it, I guess. You said the first person that you called after your first win ever was your mom. Has mom always been supportive, or was she kind of standoffish a little bit, like, I'm not sure if I want you to go out there and kick a lady in the face?
Oh, my gosh. My mom. My mom's pretty cool about it. The only thing that she really isn't a huge fan of is the fact that she spent so much money on braces and stuff like that. And she was like, she always tells me, she's like, Rachel, when you get your teeth knocked out, I'm not paying to fix that. That's all you. But otherwise, she's really into it. She likes to come watch me fight when she can, and she's just really protective about it. She's just like, I don't know, she thinks, she gets into it a lot, really, but she, I don't know. One day she'll love it, and one day she'll be like, I wish you would just save your face because you're so pretty. I don't want you to ruin it. And I don't
she's
know.
Being a mom.
She kind of flip-flops.
She's being a mom.
Yeah.
You got to tell her, Mom, that's why I work so hard, so I don't get punched in the face. I get my head movement down. I'm good, Mom. Don't sweat it.
That's exactly what I tell her. That's exactly what I tell her.
Now, do we have a boyfriend, a husband? Is there anybody in your life that is either supportive or not supportive of this, or are you flying solo just to do your own thing for a while?
Well, I actually do have a boyfriend, and today is actually our one-year anniversary, so.
Well, how exciting. You chose to spend it with me. I can't thank you enough. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
is your boyfriend supportive of you fighting?
Yeah, he's pretty supportive. He comes and watches. He'll come to the gym sometimes. Like, he used to fight himself,
and then he
separated his shoulder pretty bad and kind of got out of it. But he's starting to get back into it and stuff, so it's pretty cool.
All right, so I was thinking to myself, if he steps out of line, you know, he gets a little crazy. This girl's going to put him in, you know, an omoplata and have him on the ground. So.
That's what everybody says. They're always like, like people like at work and stuff, they'll be like, so do you have a boyfriend? Does he ever talk back to you? Do you beat him up when he talks back to you? I'm just like, no.
Very exciting. I forgot what I was just going to ask. I totally forgot what I was just going to ask. Anyway, so you fight next in February. No other tune-up fights in before that? I know you're supposed to fight Saturday, but before that it's just in the gym working hard to get ready for February?
Yeah, I think January 19th, me and some people from my gym are doing some kickboxing, I don't even know what they called it, some kickboxing type deal in Wichita, but I don't really know, because it's not like a tournament. I don't know what they called it, but I'm doing something with kickboxing.
All right, fair enough. I got to ask, I forgot to ask this about, you know, I'm writing chapter 9 of my Rachel Wiley book right now, so I want to know about your firefighting duties. How did you get involved to be a firefighter?
Well, ever since I was really little, I don't know why, I just thought firefighters were so cool. But when I turned 18 about 6 months ago, no, just kidding, a year and 6 months ago, sorry.
No, you're good.
I applied for the city of Topeka Fire Department, and I passed the written test. I passed all that stuff. And then I had to do a physical agility test, but I couldn't do it because I had a fight that day, and it was a really important fight because I really hated the girl I was fighting. I really wanted to beat her up. So
was this like a fight at school, or was this like a sanctioned kind of bout? Was this like a, you know, meet me outside at 3 o'clock and we're going to fight, or was this a...
You know, it was sanctioned, but they almost canceled it because it was outside and it started raining. But I feel like if they canceled it, it would have happened in the parking lot before I left.
Now, tell me, why did you hate her so bad? Was she talking, was it, like, personal, or was it just like you were so worked
up?
It was
very, very personal. It was
okay.
The first time I've ever fought somebody I hated, and it was pretty crazy, like, because we were supposed to fight in March of this year, and I ended up being really stupid and kicking somebody in the knee with my foot and, like, fracturing my foot, and I was in a boot for a while. It was pretty stupid, but so I couldn't kickbox her. And she was just like, oh, you're scared. Like, she took it and ran with it and talked all this crap on me about how pretty girls can't fight, and I'm just a Barbie, and I bleached all my brains out, and I'm stupid, and blah, blah, blah. Well, this went on for, like, months, okay? And then we finally fought in July, and I was not going to miss that fight for anything.
you don't think it was trying to, like, amp the fight up? You think she was really trying to be personal with you, huh?
I don't think she was trying to amp the fight. I mean, she got, like, I don't know. I mean, she did get some publicity for it, but I don't know. I just really think, because she blocked me, so I couldn't see any of this. Like,
ah,
I could
enough.
Just, like, people would have to, like, show it to me and stuff. I don't know if she was, if she was trying to, like, start something to get publicity or whatever, but she definitely did a good job of pissing me off, but she lost, so that's what you get.
Well, I got to be honest, I was looking at your Facebook page, and I was looking through your pictures, and there's a picture of you and a woman on there. It doesn't have the woman's name, but you guys are standing, like, in a locker room after a fight. It's got to be clearly after a fight, either that or this woman was in a car wreck. Her face looks like hamburger meat, and you're standing there with a smile on your face. And, I mean, that poor girl, I feel bad for her. Is that the girl you beat her ass because she pissed you off, or was that some other victim?
No, that was actually the fight I had a month before I fought the girl that I hated. That girl that was on that was Missy Blevins.
Okay.
I was originally supposed to fight this girl named, I don't even know what her name was. She had a really weird name. And she ended up no-showing on me. So this girl stepped in and was like, oh, hey, I'll fight you. And then that was, I don't think she made, I don't know, I think she regretted that pretty fast.
I was going to say that was a very, very bad decision from that picture. I mean, that's very decisive, that picture. I mean, you won that fight, right?
Yeah, I won that fight in, I can't remember the time, but it was by TKO in round one. And I felt bad posting that picture, but then again, I didn't, because after we fought, she started being really mean to me. She was, like, mad at me for fighting her. She was, like, mad at me.
Holy crap. What the hell was it? I'm losing my mind out here. I'm telling you. You got me all flustered because I'm thinking about you being a firefighter, a kickboxer, a Hooters. I'm all over the place. I don't know. Before I let you go, because we're running out of time and I got to get Cheyenne on here. Tell everybody where they can find you: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. Do you have a Pinterest?
I tried to get into Pinterest, but I don't understand it. But anyway,
okay.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rach Wiley MMA. You can find my Facebook fan page. It's just Rach Wiley Athlete, yep, or whatever that thing is. I don't even know. And then every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Time, you can hear me on Promoting Real Women Radio with Jason Adams, and that's about it.
Okay. Any sponsors, anybody you want to thank, while we got you in here?
Yeah, I would definitely like to give a shout-out to Shannon Woodward, Wayman Carter, Cody Creakey, my coaches, everybody at United Martial Sciences. My sponsors, Promoting Real Women, Jason Adams, Terry Dudley, feel like I'm forgetting people, Hype Extreme Fighting. I really feel like I'm forgetting somebody.
That's okay. Anybody
else?
Yeah, anybody else?
Anybody else? I don't think I'm forgetting somebody. I think I'm good.
Okay. Rachel, listen, I had a great talk tonight. It was very great to get to know you a little bit, and I'm really looking forward to kind of following your career a little bit. After your February 8th fight, you want to come back on and we'll talk a little bit about how it went down and, you know, the goods and the bads?
Yeah, I would love to. It would be awesome.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I want you to go. I know you only – well, you got about an hour and 45 minutes left, right? You guys are only an hour behind us, or are you 2 hours behind me?
I'm only an hour behind you.
Okay, so you got an hour and 45 minutes left to your one-year anniversary. Before you and your boyfriend come up down here and you know, beat me up, I want you to go – you guys to go enjoy yourselves, okay?
all righty, thanks.
I will talk to you after your February 8th fight. Best of luck to you. And I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
See you later.
All right. Have a good night. All right. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rachel. That was Rachel Wiley at Rachel Wiley at Rach Wiley MMA on Twitter. What a very interesting young lady. A firefighter, a Hooters girl, a kickboxer at MMA. You know, a very nice young lady. That's what I was talking about a little while ago with the sport of women's MMA, the future of women's MMA. You know, the sky's the limit for these young ladies. You know, Rachel, she's a very pretty girl. Cheyenne Blissness, very pretty girl. Felice Herrig, very pretty woman. You know, these women have the world in the palm of their hands right now. And it's a pleasure and a joy to talk to these ladies. So I'm looking forward to Cheyenne in a little bit. Carl, were you able to hear all that interview, or were you doing the important stuff on the other side?
No, I caught most of it. I was out for about a minute. Did you ask her what weight class she fights in, or did I miss that?
You know what,
part?
Carl, I'm not sure if you know this. You're a married man. You do never ask a woman how much they weigh, ever. I didn't ask.
You're right.
I'm a terrible journalist. I'm a terrible journalist. Carl, before we get Cheyenne here, do you want to pay any bills? Do we have anything to do? You know, because I don't know. I'm just standing here. Do you want to give any of our sponsors a plug?
Sure, let's do that right now. Here we go.
You got it, brother.
Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
I was just saying, before you came back on the air, Carl, that young lady is very interesting to me. You know, could you imagine seeing this young lady walking on the street and having no idea what she does, going to see her at a fight, and then the next day going to get some chicken wings at Hooters, and she's also your server, and then your house catches on fire that night, she's out there putting the fire out. I mean, just... you know,
yeah,
what
that'd
mean?
Be quite the day.
I mean, she's just full of it, man, and she's a pretty girl. I was just saying, you know, the sky's the limit for these, I want to call them kids, Carl, because I'm an old man, but the sky's the limit for these kids nowadays, and you know, she's got her head on straight. I'm just very excited about women's MMA. And again, it just falls back to local, regional MMA. And we beat the drum so hard about supporting local MMA because these people, the kid's working two jobs to try to do something that she loves. Right now, she's not getting paid to do. So, I mean, to support these people and to support the dedication and things that they're going through and they're showing is just you know, it's very, very important. And again, I'm gonna pat yours and skip his back. I know you don't like to hear it. You guys do a kick-ass job at it, man. You guys have really cornered the market. You guys do an incredible job. So, no more love fest. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. We're not friends. I don't have any friends. We've already established that. So I don't know why I'm giving, patting you on the back. For God's sake. are we having trouble getting a hold of Shane?
Yeah, we're having a bit of a technical glitch getting a hold of Cheyenne, but, I'll give her a try here again in a couple minutes and see if things are straightened out.
It's no biggie, man. What? So what else have we got going on here in MMA Madhouse? Anything? No, I got to be honest with you, Carl. I'm really a little bit nervous that. Not nervous. I'm really excited, but I'm also like, you know, it's Christmas time, Carl. I'm feeling like you're going to make me wait to unwrap my presents here before, you know, whoever's taking over my Monday night slot. I'm just getting comfortable in the slot. Now I'm losing it. I'm really looking forward to that announcement. You always keep me on the edge of my seat, brother.
Isn't this the first Monday night slot we've done?
I'm starting to sit into it. You know what I mean? I'm sitting like in a pocket throwing bombs now. I'm feeling good about it.
It took a month to get on the air on Monday, and now you're
And now it's taking 1 week to get thrown off of a Monday.
We might have one more Monday. We might not have one more Monday. I don't know, we'll see.
Whatever you got, my man, you know I'm good, and I'll, you know, we're pretty flexible around here on Bogart Fighter Radio. I mean, we are so good, as a matter of fact, we can do one show a month and get away with it.
Well, yeah, you know, that's why you and I are such a good team together. We're
correct.
Both all over the place.
That's absolutely correct. We got so many pokers in the fire and, you know, things like that. But I got a chance to listen to Skippy and Lopaki on Friday night with the live or the Rogue Show.
The Rogue Show Friday night.
Is that them?
That's them, all right, yeah.
Oh my God, I was coming home. I was playing cards, and I was driving home, and it's dark and late, and it was freezing, so I had the heater on. And by the time I got home, they were cracking me up. I was laughing so hard, and they were, I forget exactly. Oh, they were talking about somebody was talking about a water heater, you know, and making sure their water heater was on or needing a water heater, and I was just in tears. I don't remember the exact conversation. But I was just like, these guys are a bunch of knuckleheads. I love it. So I'm going to be tuning in for sure. I hope Skippy and I talk a little bit about being on there one day to you know, flap my gums to them. So that would be a good time. So I'm hoping the invitation is still open. But, man, they had me rolling, man. They're some funny dudes over there on Friday night.
They have a lot of fun, all right. Yeah, for the Rogue Show, 10 p.m. Pacific every Friday night. Tune in. Uncensored, uncut. You know, those guys that are all hang out, open lines, anybody can call in. You never know what's going to happen on that show.
Yeah, man, they went from talking water heaters to giving something away, a GFL giveaway to talking. So I was just like, man, and then I fell asleep because I was exhausted. And I asked Skippy if I could call in. I woke up in the morning and he tweeted me the number, and I already fallen asleep, so. But they had me in tears, and I had my stomach hurting because I was laughing at those guys. So, you know what, Carl? I've been thinking a lot about some reflecting, I guess, a little bit on our team here at MMA Madhouse. And, you know, it's been an interesting couple weeks. And I've really, in the last 2 days, 2.5 days, 3 days maybe, I've really seen the strength in Team Madhouse. I really have seen, you know, guys pulling together, guys doing this, that, and the other to try to, you know, try to get everybody back and just to show kind of, you know, stand united, I guess it is. And it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to be a part of. And it's been interesting to see. So I enjoy being part of Team Madhouse. Never a dull moment when it comes to Skippy, Carl, Lopaki, Chris Gregory, Matthew Gaser, Pablo El Diablo, Caitlin, Kari, Jorn. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. There's 33 of us or so, and I'm going to get them all. I'm going to name them all here. One of these days, not tonight, because I don't know them all. So, but it's just fun. It's fun to be a part of it, and I enjoy it. So Carl is going to try Cheyenne. Hopefully we can get her on tonight. I'm looking forward to that, because I know she had a huge fight in Tough Enough, and I know she's got another one coming up. I know big things are happening for this young lady, and it's been pretty cool to see her career kind of take off from her first fight. I remember talking to Cheyenne when she was just about to turn 18, her first fight. I remember she was not nervous. And I said, how can you not be nervous? And she's like, I just know. I just know that this is what I'm going to do, and I know that I'm going to win. And I remember talking to her after her first fight. And now we're talking about her going to fly out to Vegas and being big shit. I mean, being the future of women's MMA. I think Carl has Cheyenne. Is the Warrior Princess on the line with me? Cheyenne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Cheyenne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. Cheyenne, the Warrior Princess Blissmith. Is that correct? Is that still your name?
Yes, that's still it.
I appreciate you being on with me so late. It's 11:30. You're down here in Florida with me. Cold, Cheyenne. It's like 60 degrees. I'm in a sweater. I'm in a sweater.
I'm freezing.
Carl doesn't believe me, Cheyenne. Tell him. He's up there in the North Pole helping Santa load the sleigh, and he's telling me that it's not cold down here. I said, it is cold.
No, it's freezing for us Floridians.
Cheyenne, how have you been? It's been so long since you and I have talked. We were supposed to have you on a couple times and some things fell through on our end, not yours. I apologize to you for that. How have you been? Very exciting stuff going on in your life.
Yes, I've been actually really good. I've been, you know, trying to step it up in the MMA world big time. You know, I don't take any breaks. This is an off-season for me.
I've seen, man. You, the last time we talked, not the last time, probably, I don't know, two or three times ago, you're just getting ready for your first MMA event. Now, I see you all over the place. You're sponsored by the Babes of MMA. You're out flying off to Tough Enough. You're going back out there coming up. Tell me how you're feeling. Take me through some of the emotion that just one short year ago, you're this 17-year-old kid just getting ready to go, you know, for her first MMA event. Now you're a woman in the sport, and you're taking the bull by the horn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still, you know, just to me, I don't try to look at it like that. I just try to look at it as I'm, you know, still the baby of the sport. You know, I'm the baby. You know, I'm just trying to make a name for myself. And so far, I've been pretty good. I mean, I don't have the best record, but, you know, I've always put on a show that makes me interesting.
Absolutely.
And, Tough Enough is definitely now where I'm going to be fighting out of, and that's just, you know, it was amazing to go fight there. I fought in front of Vanderlei Silva, fought in front of Randy Couture. I went to his gym. Misha Tate went and came and knocked on the sauna door to wish me luck. And, but it was really cool there, and definitely a nice event. It kind of reminded me of home at Florida with WCFL. It was like the same kind of venue. It was UFC night the night before, so there's definitely a lot of people there, too.
Huh. Yeah, I saw the picture you posted. I don't know if it was on your Instagram or on Twitter or whatever, and it said something like, I almost died when she knocked on the door. I was cutting the weight or something. That picture you need to take, a pretty cool picture. You know, you got to be kind of going through, like, listen, I don't want to be bothered. I want to cut some weight. But God damn it, this Misha Tate standing in front of me. You know, I got to get out of here. I got to get a picture taken, right? Is that kind of how the way it was?
Yeah, no, it was more like I came out. She was just talking to me because I had a really bad weight cut that fight. I had to cut 22 pounds in 8 days. And, you know, she took me out of the sauna. It was just because she heard about me up there. Because the promoter, what actually happened, how I met her was, matchmaker of the event, he called me to confirm that I was here in Vegas and blah, blah, blah. And I actually called him that night, and I asked him if there was any saunas around because I stayed at the Orleans, but they told me they had a sauna, but it was really just a steam room. And, you know, so I went in there, and I was like, oh, this is doing nothing for me. So I called him. He gave me a ride to Extreme Couture because they had, like, a single sauna bed up there. And I was in there for a couple hours the night before, and Misha Tate just came in and just, like, gave me some, like, tips on what I should do for the weight cut. It was a really bad one, and she was actually a really sweet girl. I'm still Team Ronda, though, but she was just trying to give some words of encouragement, I guess.
Let me ask you. You said 22 pounds in 8 days. take me through Awaken. I know we kind of goofed about this a few times because I don't understand it. I just can't wrap my head around that. You say it was a really bad one. Is that just because you're struggling so bad to drop those 22 pounds, or was it just that you're not sure? I mean, you fought at 105 pounds. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you usually walk around at?
I walk around at 123, 124,
wow,
around that.
Man.
And I usually fight at 115. I only cut, you know,
right,
a little, not that much weight for 115. And that it was my first time. And what happened was I fought 2 weeks before I fought in Tough Enough. And, you know, after I fought at the All Sports Arena, you know, I went out the night and I, you know, I cheated on my diet. You know, I got all
of
big,
course,
back to
of
my
course
weight. And then next thing you know, 2 days later, I found out that I actually accepted the fight. I got asked if I wanted to fight this other girl, Jordan McDonald, and I confirmed it. And next thing you know, they tricked me because it was Kyra's mother who called her gym to ask if I wanted to fight. But Kyra's mother told us a different name because
okay,
all the girls kept denying her. So I was like, we looked her up. My coaches agreed. And I said, yeah. Next thing you know, I had to call the promoter and I had and he totally told me this different name, and I was like, wait, back it up. What name was that? So then he told me, and I looked her up, and I was like, whoa, different girl. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to confirm it. I'll call the next day and tell him. Next thing you know, that same night, I still didn't confirm with her, but she messaged me on Facebook. I was like, thanks for, you know, accepting the fight. And I was like, wait, what? Oh, okay, you're welcome. So it was just kind of like that, but...
So now it's like, well, I'm damned if I do, and I'm, you know, if I don't want to confirm this. But what? Let me ask you: are you ever concerned by cutting that much weight? I mean, you go out the night of your fight. Of course you should. I mean, reap the benefits of your hard work. I get it. Take a day or two and enjoy, you know, the fruits of your labor. But are you ever concerned that, you know, 8 days to drop 22 pounds? That's just not healthy. Are you ever concerned, being a young woman, being a young man, anybody, that can have some long-term effects on your body?
I know it will. Because when I was cutting that weight, my body was just weak, and like, my stomach was really messed up for, like, a week after the fight, too, just because I started eating, like, foods I haven't ate again. So, yeah, it worries me. You know, I'm a fighter. You got to push through it, you know.
Let me ask you. I don't want to get into it too much about your stomach issues, but you know, once you make weight, I mean, you have to, you know, deprive yourself of everything, food, water, the whole shebang. Is that correct? To,
mm-hmm,
to get down to 105. After the weigh-ins, what do you do? I mean, you can't just go and just, you know, fill your gut with, you know, Old Country Buffet or whatever they have. You know, you got to kind of be careful. Or did you just go out and just gorge yourself? Big, you know, as much as you can get in. How does that work?
No, my coach was with me the whole time to watch over me because I passed out in the sauna, so he was with me. And we went to the Rio Hotel buffet, if you know about that.
Yes,
but,
yes, I do.
Yeah, we went there, and I was really good. I didn't have really anything. I ate a lot of pasta. I didn't really eat a lot of meat. I did a lot of carbs. And I mean, I was totally fine. I ate an omelet morning. I felt okay, but I was still weak because of my body.
That's
and good. I was drinking a lot of Pedialyte to get my electrolytes back in me, but it takes your body more than 24 hours to rehydrate, especially from that big of a weight cut. So there was really nothing I could eat to make me feel like so good again.
Sure. Now, is 105, is that what you're going to be fighting all the time down the Tough, or are you going to be fighting soon after 115?
The promoter came up to me right after, and he said, we want you back on the card, and we'll do it for your weight at 115.
Oh,
and
good.
They got me a phone right away.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I mean, not because I don't think you can handle yourself at 105. I think you're a great fighter, and you're going to show this world, you're going to show the world exactly who you are. But, I mean, just a health standpoint, I think it's best for you.
Yeah.
And I think, it's, you know, for your future, I mean, you have such a bright future, Hedy. I don't want to see you burn out, you know, so quickly because of a weight cut. So,
yeah.
Anyways, off the weight cut, tell me about the experience of Tough Enough. Tell me how it was getting on the plane, leaving, you know, sunny Florida to fly out to Vegas to get out there and fight for Tough Enough. You've been fighting in front of, you know, smaller venues, you get out there. What was going through your mind when you checked into security, you know, got through security down here in Florida?
I just made it feel like, I mean, luckily it wasn't the first time I had been on a plane, so I wasn't nervous. I just, you know, I made it feel like I was still in Florida. You know, I didn't go out when I got there. I didn't go roam around. Me and my boyfriend came with me, so we stayed in the room and watched TV. You know, we stayed in the hotel. We didn't go out because I know if I went out, I'd want to go walk around, be on my feet, you know, because it's so
sure.
Big and there's so much to do. But, no, it wasn't a great experience for me, all that, but it felt amazing to, you know, go down to Vegas. So, like, knowing you're there to fight for one of the biggest promotion probably, and for amateur, and, you know, meeting all those people, going to their gyms, and it was just, like, a really cool experience, the fact that I got to, you know, get my name more out there. And it's just, you know, it's still the beginning for me, so I'm hoping
absolutely
next time to go out there and, you know, get my name bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. It was so funny because when Carl was telling me that you were out there, I was super excited for you. I'm like, she's fighting in the fight capital of the world, man. I don't know if she realizes that, but, you know, Mike Tyson used to fight in Vegas all the time, and Floyd Mayweather, and you know, the UFC house there. I mean, just, I was excited for you. And it was so funny because I was like, what, you know, I kept messaging Carl, what's going on? How's she doing? So,
yeah, it was definitely like when we got the taxi to the hotel, we passed by the MGM, and I was like, oh my god, they had Floyd Mayweather on the side of the building saying,
yes,
this is his home or something like that. I was like, oh my god. I was like, am I really here? So then,
that's
like,
so
after
cool.
That I was like, I know I can't go outside because I freaked myself out.
Yeah, see, I go down to Vegas for a buffet and for the casino. You go down there to whip somebody's ass and cut weight. So I don't know. Where are my priorities? But, so you're back on the Tough Enough card in February, you said? Is that when you go back down?
No, January.
Oh, I'm sorry, January. Okay. Who do you fight in January in kind of – now, are you signed through a deal with them, or are you just fight by fight?
Just fight by fight for now.
Okay.
I don't know if they do – that, but no, I'm fighting Amanda Rainerville, right? I don't know how to say her last name, but she actually trained with the girl I just fought, so that's kind of, you know, like redemption for me to go back and fight for the team, so that's cool.
Huh. I just got word that your boyfriend, who also fights, I know you and I have talked about that in the past, he was able to get himself on a card out there too, is that correct?
Yeah, that was a funny story. He fought actually like a really big known dude out there, Sean Spangler. If any one of the big jiu-jitsu people out there, they all know
okay.
him. But yeah, he stepped up last minute.
Tell me a little bit about that. Is that something that, clearly you're both fighters, so that's not the issue. What was he, I mean, was he in any shape to do so? I mean, was it a tough weight cut for him? I mean, walk me through that a little bit.
But no, he was in shape. You know, he just wasn't cutting weight. He had no idea he was fighting.
Sure.
What happened was we went to weigh-ins, and, I stayed in the sauna until right before weigh-ins started. And so he was up there, and supposedly their six opponents dropped out because they couldn't cut weight there. And there was us. They looked at Tony, and they said, what weight are you? And he goes, I walk at, like, 190, 195. And they were like, what are you? And he goes, sweet, we have an opponent for you. And he was like, sweet, they gave him the paperwork. He filled it out. He did the stare down. He gave him money to go get fight shorts and a mouthpiece, and he fought. And it was just kind of funny how it was just like, he was eating a burger, Coke, he had a beer the day before. And that's the thing that was funny.
Oh, man. that's funny. I guess that's the life of a fighter, man. You go to watch your girlfriend fight, and you got to be ready because you got to go buy a mouthpiece and some shorts. So.
Yeah, it was definitely funny. But he put on such a big show, and he almost actually did TKO the guy in the first round, but the ref stopped it right when the bell rang, and they let it keep going. And then he got submitted by him, of course. I mean, I was like, don't get discouraged.
Absolutely.
He was training for this, and the guy was 205 pounds, and Tony didn't even cut weight, and, you know, I told him, I was like, don't be discouraged, but he put up such a big show, they're having him come back to fight with me on the
awesome. Very cool. Now, let me ask this. Now, you guys are fighting on the same card. Did he fight before you or after you?
I don't know. I don't know the lineup until I get there, so...
No, I mean in the previous fight. Was he ahead of you or after you?
In the previous fight,
this
he was before
guys...
me.
Okay, so now you're in the locker room getting ready, you know, for your fight. That's gonna kind of throw some emotion. I mean, this is a guy that you care very much about. You know, he's out there fighting. You want to support him. You want to be supportive of him. You want to see him fight. You don't want to see him get hurt. Yeah, you're supposed to be getting ready. What kind of emotions were going through then?
It's definitely not easy, to put it that way. But, you know, we both know that we're going to be to this corner no matter what, no matter how focused we got to be. Because, you know, we care about each other. We have to be there. It's just it's hard to, you know, watch, I guess, but you can't not watch.
Sure.
You know, because I always have the videotape, and you always hear me, like, screaming my head off, the camera's shaking. I'm, like, coaching from the back, and I'm, like, I get so emotional. It's just, like, the people around you are, like, what is she doing, you know? Like, it's just funny. But, yes, I'm, like, crazy girlfriend out in the crowd screaming to do something.
Whatever, man.
It doesn't really bother me.
Those are going to be memories that he's going to remember, you know. Remember that time you wouldn't shut up, but it was awesome. You know, I really appreciate it. So what else other than Tough Enough are you? Are you fighting anywhere down here in Florida, or are you just focusing strictly on Tough?
I'm strictly focusing on Tough right now. I just dropped a fight that I was supposed to fight December 13th and and January 11th. I was supposed to fight. So it's a fight for Rival League for Ross Kalen, and then I was just fight Muay Thai fight in January, but I was like, that's too much before Tough Enough. I can't risk.
Sure.
Because that's like a way bigger promotion, you know. So
sure, no.
I just felt those, and I just want to train strict and go fight.
No, I absolutely respect that. Now, I'm sure that you've seen the news recently, the last week, that Invicta has lost 11 of their ladies, 115 pound, conveniently enough, to the UFC. Is that something that you're keeping your eye on very closely? Have you been contacted by anybody? Have you made contact with anybody up there? Take me through that situation a little bit.
I definitely am excited about that, but no contact with anybody yet. I don't plan to for another 2 years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Just trying to get my fights in, and then when I feel ready, I'll look for that.
Okay, so you're not even going to go pro for another 2 years, is that correct?
Yeah, probably 2 years.
Okay, and how many fights do you plan on being, how many fights you plan on getting in those next 2 years?
A lot. Like I said, there's no break for me.
Okay, so as many times as they
just
come
as long as I
stay.
What was that?
I said, just as many times as they come to you and say, Cheyenne, we want you to fight, you're going to be at the ready. You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go. I mean, how my coach and I look at it as long as I'm not injured, healthy, and I'm still training, why not fight, you know?
Yeah,
just
sure.
Put in a little extra work. Just, you know, some fighters like to get lazy. But to our camp, we keep fighting. And it definitely does suck at times, but you just got to do it.
I gotta be honest. I have followed your career for you know, since the beginning, though. It's kind of fun to watch you to grow as a fighter and as a person and, you know, in the sport. And there was one picture you posted, and it was maybe the night before you were going to bed 4 pounds heavy or something like that. And you just, you were, I mean, you were in great shape, but you just looked so tired. Was that just something that you were just wore out? You're just like, man, I'm just beat. You know, is that something that was kind of running through your head at that point? You know which picture I'm talking about?
Which picture was this again?
I don't remember. It was on, like, Twitter. I think you posted on Twitter. You're standing in front of the mirror, and you said, you know, going to bed, like, 4 pounds heavy or something like that, but I'll be ready to go, or something to the effect of that. It was like, I don't remember. I think it was just before a tough fight. And, you know, you looked very, I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this to a woman. You looked very skinny. Not that you're heavy by any means, but you were very, you know, you're very, you had cut the weight, I think, but you were still a little bit over, you know, 4 pounds over or whatever, but it just, I felt sad for you. I felt like this poor girl is just going through hell to get down, but I know this is her dream and she wants to get there. I wish I had the picture up.
I know what you're talking about. Down.
Okay. Is that?
Yeah. I was definitely miserable. Like I said, I definitely had I'm not going to lie. That weight cut was, I ended up passing out in the sauna, and the doctor was the one to determine if I could fight or not. So, I mean,
really?
It was definitely, like I said, when I went into the fight, I'm not saying I lost because I was weak, but my body did not work with me.
Sure.
It was just like I threw a couple punches and I looked good, and they say, you know, every time I would hit her, I felt like I wasn't hurting her. And like, it was just like a really bad experience for me. Like, that's why I can never go down to that weight again. I was just like,
yeah, no, I don't blame you. Sure.
I was like,
I don't blame you.
I could go down to the weight if I had more than an 8-day notice, put it that way.
Okay.
If it was more than that, I believe I could be on a very strict diet and get down to it, no problem. Because I mean, I do have a body fat, you know, I'm not like ripped. But
sure.
That 8 days really took a hold on me. I don't think my stomach and like my eating food, like all that didn't get right until like about a week and a half after the fight.
Jeez. Yeah, I felt terrible for you because I could see in your face, you had a smile on your face and you just were so positive and just, you know, so ready to be there, but I just felt so terrible for you. You just looked like very unhappy and so 105 is not out of the question. As long as you can have some time to prepare and do a proper weight cut, that's not out of the question for you?
Just if I can do a proper weight cut for it, I'll be totally fine. It's definitely not my first option. I would like to do, like, you know, a catch weight if I could. But
sure.
I couldn't the last one because it was a title fight. And she said no. But, you know, I would prefer that more. But, no, I mean, if I had about a month advanced, I could do it. But I prefer 115. That's what I'm going to go pro at. So I definitely prefer 115. Because I'm trying to get bigger. You know, I'm still, you know, 18 and trying to gain muscle, so going to 105 with what I eat, it just sucks.
Yeah. How tall are you, Cheyenne?
I'm 5'3".
5'3", okay. So yeah, I guess 105 wouldn't be the end of the world if you were able to do it in a proper time and in a proper
yeah.
Yeah. So okay. Now, I already know the answer to this, but when you talked to Misha down in Las Vegas, did she sway you at all? I know you're always Team Rousey, but we got a big fight coming up. What way are you leaning for the fight? I know in our past conversations that you've always been Team Rousey, but you know, did Misha change your mind a little bit when you got a chance to talk to her, or are you still, you know, you're still all Team Rousey? And who do you think is going to win December 28th?
Oh, she's going to hand it to her. I feel so bad for the girl. I mean, just to be honest, I mean, I'm just sorry. Anyone who hears this and thinks differently, I'm sorry, but she's so little compared to Rhonda. I was just like, dang. I was like, girl, you need to eat some pasta, some chicken, some steak.
Yeah,
she was looking little. Rhonda, when they were doing an interview together, you know, 2 days later, you know, in person, she's a lot, you know, way bigger than me, but...
Right.
Roger just overtowered her. It was just huge, and I was like, oh, man.
yeah, she is a big girl compared to her. And Rhonda is in no way big, but compared to Misha, she's you're absolutely right. She's
Rhonda, you know, she was a 145-pound fighter with,
yes,
you know, body fat, but not a lot. And now that she's 135, she hit ripped. And she's just huge still, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she definitely has an advantage over everyone.
Okay, before I let you go tonight, I want to wish you, you know, I publicly want to wish you the best of luck. I think you have the world in the palm of your hand. I think you make smart decisions, and I think you got a good team around you, so best of luck in that. Before I let you go, I want you to thank whoever you want to thank. I want you to tell everybody where they can find you on Facebook and Twitter. So go ahead. Spend a couple minutes to let everybody know where they can get a hold of you.
I want to thank all my sponsors, Girl Jitsu, Biz of MMA, Toyota Clearwater, Tampa MMA News, Albert Landscaping, Wing House, and if I missed you, sorry. Thank you. You guys need to check them all out. They're awesome. You can reach me on Twitter at Shy Bliss, or my full name, Cheyenne Villismas, CHYANNEVLISMAS. Instagram, same thing. Facebook, I find me in the Cheyenne, the Warrior Princess, Villismas.
Awesome. So after your fight in January, you come back on, we'll talk about the next fight they set up and all the cool things you and Tony got a chance to do while you were down in Vegas this time.
Actually, sounds to me.
All right, Cheyenne. Thanks so much. I appreciate you always being willing to come on here short notice and always giving me a great interview. I appreciate it, Cheyenne, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
It's no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Carl, you know, Cheyenne Blissmith, Warrior Princess, Team Madhouse member, you know, just a good person, you know, not afraid to cut 22 pounds in 8 days. I think I've done 22 pounds in 8 days, too. But I think I put on 22 pounds in 8 days. I don't think I've ever cut shit like that. So,
yeah.
My man, you know, she's a worker, man, that girl. You know, 18 years old. You know, when I was 18 years old, I was more of a knucklehead than I am now. You know, just incredible stuff. Just to hear her phone, we had a little bit of issue with the phone, but whatever. We got the gist of it. You could hear enough of what she was saying to know that she's very dedicated, very driven, you know, wanting to be the best in the world, man. Very refreshing to see that there are still some pretty good teenagers in this world. I deal with a lot of them on a regular basis, and some of them are makes me scratch my head. But, you know, the two ladies we had on tonight, Carl, was I think it was a hit, man. I think we had a good show with these ladies tonight, and I wish them all the best.
Two lovely young ladies tonight for sure, yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know what else you got planned, Carl.
Not much, but you know, I want to give a shout out to an old buddy of mine who's listening tonight from Sweden, Tony Rombin. You know, he's has his own gym over there. He also is in a metal band, Swedish metal band, and you know, he tuned in tonight and he's messaging us saying, you know, great show, he's loving it, and you know, shout out to him. It's been a long time since we've talked.
Huh, very cool. A Swedish metal band, huh? That was, you know what?
I'm gonna play it for you. I got it here. It's in the switchboard. We're gonna We're gonna close the show with the Virus.
Okay, but here's a little self disclosure. I want nothing more in this world than to be a bass guitarist in a metal band. Now, a Swedish metal band. Have you ever seen the ladies in Sweden? No. Rock stars get all kinds of tail. Being a rock star in Sweden might be the best gig on the planet. You know, what did you say your buddy's name is? Tony?
Tony,
thanks for listening, bud, all the way over in Sweden. You, my friend, have probably one of the coolest gigs ever, a rock star in Sweden. You know, anybody who's a friend of Carl's is a friend of ours here at Full Guard Fight Radio. Carl, listen, man, it is almost midnight down here on the East Coast, and it is like 58 degrees out, dude. So I'm going to let you go. I'm going to sign off until next week, maybe on Monday. Of course, I mean, who knows? I might be on Wednesday mornings. No, I don't know what I'm going to be getting. But, Carl, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, to represent MMA Madhouse. on Full Guard Fight Radio. It's a blast, man. It's always one of my favorite things to do. We don't get to do it as much as I want to do it. But to you, to Skippy, and all the other members of Team Madhouse, thank you, and I will talk to you guys. I don't even know, Carl. You pick a day, and I'll be there. How's that?
Okay, yeah, we'll figure out this new schedule, man. I don't know yet.
Sounds good, bud. All right, for Carl Mortensen, I'm Jason Lennon, Full Guard Fight Radio. See you next time.
This is The Wyrus. We'll be right back.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
You still there? You still there, or did I lose you? You there, dude? Londis.